Anyway, Kim called me, was Friday morning, and had been picking me up, and yes, I had been challenged, and asked me if I would share. So what I will share is what happened to me on Wednesday, which was a very difficult, challenging day. I was asked to pick up Naomi about 11:15. Darlene has kept her home from school for another week because her energy levels are so low that just felt that she couldn't handle school. So I picked her up, but the word I got from my daughter was she needs to do some form of activity because they want her to regain her strength. So she just don't let her just sit. So I said, well, I'll put up the tree and she can decorate the tree. And we thought, okay, that's good. Lord help me for my ideas. Got there and I told her that that's what we were going to. Oh, we stopped on the way. We picked up some burritos. That's her favorite thing for lunch. And we picked up a big package of burritos for her to have for lunch. She was okay with that. So I started putting up the tree, and I've never done this before, never put up the whole tree. You know, we have a fake tree. Put up the whole tree, put all the lights on it, and I was like, okay, thank you, Lord. And she's just not showing any level of enthusiasm whatsoever, which is like, this is strange. And instead, she chirps out, where's my lunch? I want my burrito. Okay. So I went and I got her burrito and I said, I'll get one for Grandpa too. You're going to give Grandpa my burrito? And I said, Naomi, there's a package of 10 burritos.
Oh, we should have gone over.
You're going to share. She did not like that. And finally I walked over to her and I said, who paid for the burritos?
Come on, you're preaching.
She says, you did. I said, that's right.
Come on.
But did. So I gave them the both burritos and she wanted another one. So then I'm expecting her to go in and decorate the tree. So this is the beginning of everything in this day that just did not go right. She sits down on the floor. She's got the box of ornaments beside her and she doesn't move. Reaches in the box, picks up an ornament, and hangs them all on the bottom of the tree. Never gets up. I said, what about the middle? Well, she did that for about 10 minutes, got up and sat in a chair. So I said, okay, you want to take a rest? That's all right. Still no enthusiasm, nothing. And I'm not picking up enough of this. But in the meantime, John is going into his antics, which was the reason I find out that Kim called. He wanted to see the fruit of the prayer, the corporate prayer that took place the night before. Well, folks, the fruit was the antics kept up most of the afternoon. And I'm not going to go into detail of what those antics are. Let's just say the manifestation of the antics was pretty heavy. So she finally decides she'll go over and put on a few more ornaments. She did. She sat down on the floor again. But all the while, she's just not herself. She's kind of like a little bit cranky. I couldn't put my finger on it. She just was not right. She's still got open wounds right here. They put in 3 tubes. One opening is healed. The other two are still open, so she's got a bandage and my wound type of thing. Okay, that's good. God's healing it. Well, this goes on all afternoon. And in the middle of this, I made my husband a milkshake, which is filled with nutrients. It's not a normal milkshake. It's a drink that Darlene got me. And he tipped it over all over the upholstery and the rug. Chocolate.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So I put the duct tape on.
Amen, amen.
And cleaned up the mess. Thankfully, at some point, I got an apology. And okay, that's good. It's all right. But it was the antics that kept going and kept going, and I was concerned for Naomi because she's obviously not uncomprehending why. She's seen them before, but not to this level. And her mind cannot grasp what's going on. So I knew she was tense. So I get to supper time, and she comes up to me and she says, Grandma, I'd like to eat by myself, please. And I said, no, you will not. Grandpa and I will come in and eat with you. And then if you would like to be in the room by yourself, you may. Okay. She knows when I speak like that I'm not discussing.
Come on.
So we did. We got through dinner. But through the whole dinner, the antics are going on. So sure enough, she brings her dishes out, shuts the door, and that's the last I saw of Naomi. Period. I just let her stay in there. Got a blanket, shut herself in the room. But for me, I'm out in the front room with
antics.
More antics. Now, these antics kind of increased in crescendo. I finally lost it. I finally got very irritated. And my irritation was, I'm mumbling to the Lord. I'm complaining is what I'm doing. I'm complaining. I don't like this demon in my house. I don't like what this demon is doing. And I'm angry. But unfortunately, the anger comes out in irritation. Mm-hmm. And so I know that that's not God. So I finally just sat down and said, okay. If I wait... God, you're going to show me something here. So I did. I just shut up and waited, which, again, irritates mm-hmm. what's going on in him. So I kept it, and I waited and waited. Well, I had shared before that I was doing this wilderness course from John Bevere. There's 10 lessons. I finished all 10 lessons. But I am still daily in the words. There was a whole booklet that came with it. So I thought to reach over and grab lesson 10, and I pick it up and put it in front of me, and the first thing I see is in lesson 10 he talks about the new wine, that you must be emptied of the old to put in the new wine. And he gives several things that you must do in order to have this happen. And the first thing he lists is, if you're offended with God, get rid of it. And I kept looking at those words, and the more I looked at them, I realized I was offended with God. So I chewed on that for several minutes. I'm offended. Not totally getting it, but I said, I know I'm offended. The second thing he said is stop complaining. I said, well, Lord, for the last hour, I've done nothing but complain. So I marched myself into the bathroom. I went quiet. I forgave the Lord for offending me. I said, that doesn't make sense to my brain, but if you're offended, you forgive. So I said, I forgive you for offending me. I don't totally understand that yet. And I repented for complaining. So when I came out into the other room, boom, the revelation comes. You did not fully trust in my love for you. And the minute I heard that, I knew that was what was going on, and that was what he was after. That though I am totally aware, so I thought, of God's love for me, I lost sight of it in that moments of real irritation, real intense stuff that was going on in my house. So I picked up my Bible. I knew exactly where I was going. And I went immediately to 1 John 4:16, and I began declaring. And I use the Amplified because I didn't even like the Passion Bible's rendition of this. It didn't hit what I needed. The Amplified did. And I know and believe, adhere to, put faith in, and rely on the love God cherishes for me. I personalized it. God is love, and I, who dwell and continue in love, dwell and continue in God, and God dwells and continues in me.
Amen.
In this union and communion with Him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with me, that I may have confidence for the day of judgment, with assurance and boldness to face Him. Because as He is, so am I in this world. There is no fear in love. Obviously, there must have been some fear going on. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors. So I kept those words going for quite a while. I just kept going over them and over them, waiting on God for those to permeate to the deep depths of where they needed to go. The work is not done as yet. I am still continuing to declare this, but I knew that was what was going on, is that I was questioning, with all of this stuff that you're allowing, all of these ridiculous words I'm hearing, all of these antics, where's your love? Well, obviously none. I had time to go back and think it through. I was back into my flesh questioning, well, if you love someone, you don't let that happen. But God does. Mm-hmm. So that, again, starts more pondering. Okay, God, your love for me is total, unconditional, and perfect, but you're allowing this. So I finally accepted that. I accepted that love was allowing me to experience what I'm experiencing. He didn't say I had to like it.
Amen.
But He did say I had to thank Him for it. So I did. So I kept that going. Darlene showed up. I got very quiet. I didn't talk too much. That night, I had a rough night. I have not said anything, but for the last several weeks, my left knee has been under attack, to the point that the Lord gave me a vision of two visions of a knee brace, and I put a knee brace on it for 4 weeks. Last weekend, He told me to take it off. Well, in the night somewhere, I woke up out of sleep, and the pain is shooting through my knee, down my calf, to the point where I had to restrain myself from screaming. That's how bad it was. I thought, oh my God, this is unbearable. I want to scream. So I got up and then I sat on the edge of the bed and I just started what I do when that hits me is I guess I'll use the word claiming, the power of the blood. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long I kept that up. I kept it up for quite a while before it calmed down. And finally, it calmed down. It left. Not totally left the knee, but it totally left the rest of my leg that I was able to get back to sleep. Amazingly enough, when I got up in the morning, something had broken. I do not know what. Something broken, and there was a freedom I had not experienced before. So I just kept walking out the revelation that He'd given me, just processing this of questioning his love and just making the decision that I'm not going to question your love. Obviously, I need help for that. I need grace to be able to totally walk through that. And about this time, Kim called me. We had a long conversation about this. And in the middle of this course that I have been working through with John Bevere, oh, let me backtrack a minute. There was another issue that came up that I shared with Kim. Number 7 in this course is a lesson about Ishmael. And he teaches that if there's anything you created in the flesh, you have to keep it alive in the flesh. Mm-hmm. So if there's anything like that, you need to decide to get rid of it. Well, at this point, and this is now, was that? I'm not remembering now if that was Wednesday night. I wrote down notes because I knew I was going to lose some of it. Oh, so I look back over my notes. When I finally came through and was speaking this, I suddenly realized that I was letting his behavior steal my joy. Mm-hmm. And I stood up and I said, no.
All done.
You will not steal my joy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
So then it was Thursday night. I realized that the monster I had created by Ishmael was way back when John was first diagnosed with the brain damage. I went into the world system to think that now I was going to have to do everything because he is going to be unable. Well, I went too far with that, and that all of a sudden I'm doing it all and he is unable. So the Lord showed me that that's not his ways. So I asked the Lord for help. I said, I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to fix it. But I said, I will walk it out if you'll help me. So most of this happens in the evening hours, getting ready for bed. Turns into a very difficult time. So I just kept submitting to the best level that I could, submitting to the Lord of what point do I help and what point do I not help? Because if I challenge him in an area and say, you know how to do that, he does not receive it. Instead, goes into a tirade. And so I'm walking that out, and I don't know how long that's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take, but every night I'm submitting, except Friday night turned in to be the worst one of all. And as I laid there praying through that, thinking, my goodness, I thought I had submitted, and the Lord showed me again, you're submitting, but you're not submitting to love. And what kept coming? I kept hearing you, Kim. I kept hearing you tell me love. And I kept hearing, love never fails. Okay. So what do I do with that? So the Lord began to show me ways of love with helping him instead of my controlling. That is a process that has begun and is going to be continuing on. This is a new level for me. This is a new place. Is how to do this, when to do it. Thank you, Lord. But what I was setting forth to do was agreeing that I had created a monster by controlling, and that it needed to be dealt with, because not only was I doing harm to myself, I was doing harm to my husband. And the process was the harm was working both ways.
Good intentions.
Pardon?
Good intentions.
Yeah, good intentions from the wrong spirit.
Yeah.
They work, I mean, everything that I read about people with brain damage is you have to do everything for them. And I thought that was what I was supposed to do. But it doesn't bring in the word of the Lord. It doesn't bring in what God wants. It just brings in what you're doing, what you want. Mm-hmm. And again, the ways that the Lord is showing me is the ways of love, to be able to help the person see that they are able, number one. Number two, that there's a better way. And do I have my way through that yet? No, that's a work in progress. That's just a work in progress that I started on Thursday night, and will be continuing to walk that out. So my bottom line was far deeper trust in God's love. Stop complaining that every time I'm tempted, and that's part of the lesson that John Bevere did have very early in the course. He had us make a list of what every time we were tempted to complain, be reminded of what are you expecting to get out of your wilderness. So I went back and read that. What I wrote down, what I expected to get out of the wilderness, was to deepen my relationship to the Lord, to know Him, to reveal Him, to have those things removed from me that hinder all relationships, to learn my purpose and God's plan for my life, and to know more of His love.
Amen.
So I went back and, okay, Lord, You already told me this. Reminded of that when I get tempted to complain, this is what I said. And not to rely on anything, even, this just sounds weird, but it's a teaching that came through Joseph Prince. He said, when you get tempted to even rely on your obedience, that can be even a trap. That you're to rely on nothing but grace and favor from the Lord.
Amen.
That, and as I listened to that, I thought, wow, that's a little bit of a contradiction from what I had been taught, but I saw it. I saw that if you totally rely on obedience, you're not relying on faith. That it's faith. Faith in God's love, faith in His grace, faith in His favor, faith in His mercy, faith in His righteousness, that is the way out. Not necessarily, not just obedience and putting that, almost like obedience could almost become an idol.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that.
Lord.
Yeah. Well, process it, think it.
There's truth there.
If my thinking is all, I'm going to obey, then over here, when God is saying, I'm looking for faith, there's not quite, and I don't know totally how to fully explain that. My heart's getting it. But I could see that obedience could become an idol instead of faith.
Because there's a piece of self there.
Yes. There's a piece of self.
Okay,
yeah?
And obedience tends to make us think of legal requirements.
Yes.
Rather than grace.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah?
Plus, I think obedience makes me think of fear as well, like fear of failure and like falling short and falling out of that.
Yeah, exactly. And I believe that's what he was getting through to me. This was a lesson I listened to. It was either Thursday or Friday morning. And that started the really another process of thinking. And I just wanted to share. Yep.
I don't know if this is a question. I think it's just I'm talking out loud to process. If we're using faith to walk out our steps each day, and that faith brings us to hearing more which then leads to obedience. I'm not sure I understand how obedience can become an idol if you're doing it through faith.
As long as you don't seek perfection from it, because I don't think perfection, I think obedience has like a hidden trap of like fear of failing and not obeying, and I think obedience to that degree brings the want of being perfect, of hearing perfectly, instantly, every single time. I think that falls under works in some ways, once you get to that point. Mm. At least that's how I would see it.
Yeah.
And the root of obedience is based on relationship.
And love.
Obedience is required of servants.
But
yes,
we don't move God unless it's through faith.
Exactly.
So
by being obedient, and I was talking to someone this week saying that, you know, if God tells me to do something, I can say, yes, sir, and I'm good.
Yeah.
Because I can obey. But that's a servant-master relationship.
Yeah, it's not sonship.
Not a son,
correct.
The son works both in love. Not
in
obedience. I'm compliant with his wishes because I desire to please him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
As compared to obey like a master-servant relationship.
Right.
And that would deny his nature, because that's not who he is.
I also believe that we're all on different levels in these areas, mm-hmm. and we may have one vision here and one other vision here, and they're both right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Holy Spirit will bring clarity because of your own personal background. Because we all come from different weaknesses, right. and we all come from different legalism, which is based in obedience.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's fine-tuning on this, and like you said, it's a work in progress.
Absolutely.
It's progression. So be conscious of that, and it's not a box that you can fit this in and say, oh, it's going to fit everybody. It's not.
No.
I think it's going to be individual. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's caution lights on this type of thing. You have to be flexible and obedient to the best of your ability, and he will bring clarity.
Right.
Philippians 3:15. He will bring that clarity to you.
I think a lot of what John says is correct. Obedience does tie into a servant. But if we believe we're sons and daughters of God, a son and daughters it's a flow of love.
It's a reaction in love.
And it's flowing in love. This is what my Father is saying.
Yeah.
And the love in my heart towards my Father just, you don't say I'm obeying,
I want to do it.
You just do it because of love.
Yeah.
But the motivation of obedience can be fear. Not love driven.
Oh. Yeah.
Because there could be fear if you are obeying from a servant perspective.
Exactly. Yeah.
A servant could have some fear of a master.
Well, praise the Lord, I don't think I've ever felt that. I could be wrong, but I don't think I've ever felt that if I don't do it.
That's a good thing.
Oh,
but good. I knew that for me was something I needed to hear.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it's an individual situation here.
Yeah.
From different angles, it's going to be different for each individual. It's not safe to say put it all in one package is going to fit everybody.
Right.
Because it won't.
But I'm just sharing that with each of you.
I'm glad you are.
Yeah. That it's something that you probably need to pray through for your own self to see where you're at with that.
Yeah.
That you're on a level of father-daughter, father-son.
Right.
And you're flowing in love.
See, I think when I was the Catholic, I did the majority of things that I did out of fear.
Out of fear, yeah.
But
foundations.
But I don't think I'm doing that anymore. Okay, I'm all right. Okay.
That's good. Great. But you see the difference.
Yes, I got it.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
Good luck.
I think at that point, I think that is it. Let me just check. I wrote down a couple of scriptures. Let me just see if that pertains. Yes, it does. One of the things that I'm aware of that I'm walking through is the Lord is allowing affliction. And affliction is very effective in teaching and getting us to the place where God wants us. And 2 Corinthians 4:17 confirms this for us. For our light, momentary affliction, yes, I was having affliction on Wednesday, very definitely, slight distress of the passing hour is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. That's one of the scriptures I keep using.
That was 2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians 4:17.
4:17.
Yes. Yeah. Because I do consider a lot of what I'm walking through in my house is an affliction.
Yes.
And so what is that affliction doing? So this scripture here helps me to comprehend what that affliction is doing. That was from the Amplified, by the way.
Yeah, I figured that.
Yeah, that's why there's so
but
many
words. I'm thinking about Paul being in prison.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about me speaking to Bob about his imprisonment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's related.
Yes, it is.
And that would be an excellent scripture.
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much.
And the other scripture I wrote down was James 1:4. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. So again, you could also substitute the word perseverance for the word endurance. So let perseverance have a full work. So as we all, in whatever test that we're going through, is if we persevere, steadfast, and patience, if we let that we're going through have its full work in us, that we will come out fully developed people lacking in nothing. So that's James 1:4. That was the other scripture that I felt he put in my heart. And I will close with this. The very final page of this lesson that I'm going through with John Bevere is God is preparing me for change.
Yep.
I leave the old and I embrace the new. My progress towards destiny is dependent on my ability to adjust to change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My ability to adjust to change will first require the ability to discern change.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about old history.
Yeah.
God is doing something brand new. He is making a road through the desert. His word says, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The winds of change propel me forward. Yeah?
I just have one other question. In the beginning, when you said that you went into the bathroom for quiet and that you were shown that the Lord offended you.
I was offended with him. He didn't offend me.
You're right. I'm sorry.
I was offended.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Like, I don't understand. Why were you offended with the Lord?
I was offended that he was allowing the, call it extreme challenges that were taking place. When Kim called me, he said, I'm looking for the fruit of the prayer last night. And when he said that, I went, oh.
Come see.
That's what I was listening to. I mean, the fruit was not pretty. And I told him what had happened. He said, well, you answered the question about the fruit. So the fruit really caused me to have an offense. I'm questioning God's love and whew, look at what's going on in my house. Okay. But again, he corrected me. And that love is allowing it. Yeah, very definitely. Thank you.
How many of you got blessed with this message today?
Yes. Amen.
Put your hand up so she can see it. Father, we just want to bless her now. Bless John.
Amen.
And let her know that we have her back. That we are with her. That she is not alone in this test. Some of us had to go maybe a little bit down that road in different ways. But we love you, Gail.
We love you. Thank you.
May the anointing of the Holy One of Israel be with you as you go forward in obedience and in his love. Amen. Amen.